Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psachim Daf Mem Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Mem He at the Mishnah that you will notice a little bit more than halfway down the page. The Mishnah deals with dough that is stuck in cracks that are in a bowl, a mixing bowl. The dough, obviously, has become chometz, and the question is the dough that is lodged in the cracks in such a bowl required to be destroyed? Is the chometz going to be the basis of someone's violation of Bal Yiroh, Bal Yemotzei, the prohibition of having chometz? The Mishnah. Botzek shebesidke areva. Botzek is dough that is in the cracks of an areva, a mixing bowl. Im yesh kizayis b'mokoim echod, chayov levayer. If there is an olive quantity in one spot, then that will generate the need to destroy it on Pesach. V'im lav, if you don't have a full olive quantity in one spot, botel b'mi'uto, it is nullified because of its smallness, its small quantity, its negligible presence. V'chein le'inyan hatuma, likewise, with regard to the realm of defilement, im makbid olav chotzeitz, if you have dough that upsets you, its presence is reason for you to want to get rid of it, then if it's present in a bowl that had become defiled and which requires immersion in a mikveh, so then this dough, the dough that bothers you, that you are makbid olav, will serve as an interposition, will be a block between the contact of the water and the bowl that needs to be immersed. And as we call this a chatzitza, it will prevent the immersion in the mikveh from being effective in purifying the bowl. V'im rotze b'kimo, if you want that dough to be there, you want it to be a part of the bowl, harei hu ke'areva, then it becomes like the bowl itself, and hence it's not a chatzitza. And you're probably wondering, why would someone want some dry dough to be stuck on a bowl? So the answer is that it serves as a type of glue, if you will, to hold the bowl together. So that would be a good enough reason for him wanting the dough to be there. We presented the Mishnah on a very superficial translation basis. There is a lot more to say about this, and we will let the Gemara break down the Mishnah and show us the difficulties in this Mishnah and its subsequent resolutions. As we start the Gemara itself, we encounter a marking and a numbering as well of Roman numerals. So the double underline is here to emphasize the names Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel in these two Lishonos. And the two Lishonos obviously are presented with Roman numerals number 1 and 2. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel Loi Shonu Elo. Now, we have to always define, whenever you're learning lo shanu, the expression lo shanu means we were taught some aspect of the Mishnah only under these circumstances. So the Lo Shanu expression we've written between the lines is going on the Kizayis B'mokom Echot Chayav Levayer. We learned in our Mishnah that if there is an olive quantity of dough concentrated in one spot, so you need to destroy that chometz. You have to get it out of there, carve it out of there, whatever it takes, you got to get rid of it. It's chometz. Now Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel comes and qualifies that. He says, Lo shanu elo b'mokim she'ein asuyin l'chazek. This is true only if it's at a point in the bowl that is not needed to strengthen the bowl, to keep the bowl together. Avo b'mokim she'asuyin l'chazek, if the dough is filling a crack in the bowl, the Mishnah made reference to Sidke Arevo, cracks in the bowl. So if it's at a location in the bowl that is, the dough serves to strengthen, to hold it together, then Eino Chayov Levayer. Even though, he doesn't have to destroy it, even though it is a full olive quantity. This leaves room for inferring something else. Michlal, we can draw an inference from this. If you're dealing with a quantity of dough less than an olive amount in size, afilu b'mokom she'ein osui l'chazek eino chayav levayer. Even then, even if it's in a spot of in the bowl where it's not strengthening the bowl, we'll see later on more details about mokom osui l'chazek and mokom she'ein osui l'chazek. But for our purposes, if it's at the lower part of the bowl where a lot of pressure is applied when you're kneading the dough or mixing things in that bowl, that's a mokum osu l'chazek. If it's, let's say, on the upper rim of the bowl, that's ein osu l'chazek. That's just by way of general reference. We'll see more detail about that later on. But the point is, according to Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel, the din of Kizayis B'mokom Echot Chayv Levayer, that's not a din that's across the boards. That's only where it's present in a Mokom She'ein Osui L'Chazek, where it's not so essential. However, if it's in a Mokom Osui L'Chazek, if the full Kizayis is found in a place of in the bowl where it's designed to strengthen, to keep the bowl together, you don't have to get rid of it. Leaving us to infer that if you're dealing with less than a Kizayis, you don't have to get rid of it under any circumstance, even if it's in a mokum she'ein osui l'chazek. Iko de masni lo aseifa. Now, as you can see, we have a squiggle underline, which we use as a marking when you have alternative lishonos in the Gemara. It's one of our Gemara markings, trademark indicators of a transition expression. So here we're leading into a second version, and that's there are those iko de masni lo. There are those that teach Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel's qualification on the seifa. Now you're going to see a more stringent version of the presentation. The seifa is the latter part of the Mishnah, which said v'im lav botel b'miuto. That means, if you don't have a kezayis b'mokom echod, then it's nullified. That's what the Mishnah taught, leaving us to think that if you're dealing with less than a kezayis of dough, less than an olive quantity of dough, it's not reason for any Pesach concern. Well, Omar Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel Lo Shonu Elo, this leniency, so to speak, with regard to the Pochos Mikazayas as being botel, that is true, but it's qualified. Ela b'mokom osi l'chazek. That's provided it's functioning to hold the bowl together. It's there. It's in a place that's designed to strengthen the bowl. Avo b'mokom she'ein osi l'chazek. If this pochos mikazayas is found in an insignificant part of the bowl where it's not there to hold it together, where its role is insignificant, then chayov levayer. You'll have to get rid of that pochos mikazayas, that very small amount of dry dough, which is chometz. Michlal, this leads room to infer, the kezayis, if you're dealing with a full olive quantity, even if it's in a strategic part of the bowl, where it's serving to strengthen the bowl, you will have to get rid of it. So the second lashon is much more restrictive. According to the first lashon, if you're dealing with pochos mikezayis, you never have to get rid of it. According to the second lashon, if you're dealing with a full kezayis, you will always have to get rid of it. Tanyo kalishno kamo, tanyo kalishno basro. We have Tanaic sources that support both lashonos, both versions of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, both the lenient version and the second, more stringent version. Before we go ahead in the Gemara, you can see immediately with the markings that there are two Tanaic sources. They're introduced by the Tanyo Kalishna Kama or Basra expression, which we've underlined. You can see a diamond that's used to highlight the expression Bamed Varm Amurim, and that will serve to highlight the difference between the two Tanaic sources. But before we learn the Gemara structurally, a major issue is going to come up. If once you have two Tanaic sources supporting what in effect are contradictory lishonos, or two versions that are at odds with one another, so then it's room to suggest that the two sources themselves are contradictory. The Gemara will raise this problem on the fourth line from the top of Amud Beis. If you can scroll ahead or you turn ahead to that, you can see in the middle of that line it says Kashin Ahadodi, that these two Tanaic sources will be contradictory. In order to resolve that problem, the Gemara on Amud Beis will present three resolutions, and you can see they're marked with triangles, and the names stand out: Rav Huna, Rav Yosef, and then third version on the third wide line there on Amud Beis to resolve these two sources. So now that our travel plan is clarified, let's take a look at the Gemara. Tanya Kalishna Kama. We have a Tanaic source supporting the first version of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, which told us that a pochos mikezayis never has to be destroyed. And a full kezayis also can stick around. How do you like the pun of sticking around? But it can stick around if it's in a mokum ha'osu l'chazik. The source says, Botzek sheva sidke areva, dough that's in a crack in the bowl, the mokum ha'osu l'chazik, eino chotzeit v'eino over. If it's in a strategic location in the bowl where it's there to strengthen the bowl, by serving as glue holding the crack together. So, eino chotzeitz, we alluded to this in the Mishnah, it doesn't represent an interposition for immersion purposes, nor is it, eino over means you're not in violation of Bal Yiro, Bal Yamotze, the prohibition of having chometz over Pesach. Uve mokom she'en osu l'chazek, if the dough is in an insignificant place of the bowl where it's not really strengthening the bowl, Chotzeitz v'over, it is an interposition with regard to the laws of mikveh, and over, you will be in violation of the laws of Pesach. Bamed devarim amurim bekezayis. All of that which we just said was only if you're dealing with a full olive quantity of dough. Avol pochos mikezayis, less than an olive quantity of dough, afilu b'mokum shein osi l'chazek, eino chotzeitz v'eino over. If it's less than an olive quantity, even if it's in an insignificant part of the bowl, it does not serve as a chatzitza, an interposition, nor does it result in your violating the laws of Pesach. The Tanya Kalishna Basra, and a Tanaic source supporting the second Lashon. The second Lashon of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Botzeik Shebesike Areva. Again, dough in a crack in the bowl. The mokum ha'osui l'chazek, if it's in a strategic part, eino chotzeitz v'eino over. The mokum she'ein osui l'chazek, chotzeitz v'over. It should note structurally that the introduction of these two sources is basically the same exact wording. It's only at the point where the diamond appears in both sources that you will see the difference. So, Bamed Vomamurim, here we're at the second line from the top of Omid Beis. When is this distinction made? Bepochos mikazayas. If you're dealing with less than a kazayas quantity, afal bekazayas. If it's a full olive quantity, afilu bemokom ha'osi lechazek chotzeitz ve'over. Even if it's in a strategic part of the bowl where it is strengthening the bowl, it must be destroyed. That's over, and chotzeitz means it will be an interposition. Kashion adodi. After all is said and done, kashion adodi. These two sources are difficult. Kashion, that's difficult. They present a contradiction. Ahadodi, one on the other. How do we get out of that? So Omar Rav Huna, his answer is very simple. Sami kilsa mikami chamirta. Sami means to delete the first source, which was the more lenient source. That's the kilsa's kal or kula, the more lenient one. Mikami, in the face of the chamirta, in face of the more stringent one. In other words, Rav Huna is saying that as far as accuracy is concerned, or as far as the way to go is concerned, just keep to the second source. And that means, just for the sake of review, that a full olive quantity of dough stuck in the crack of a bowl, no matter where it is, even if it's in a strategic location, you must get rid of that chometz dough. Rav Yosef Omar. Rav Yosef's response to what Rav Huna said is like this. He says, Tanoi shaklis me'almo. Literally translated is, Tanoi is a machlokas tanoim. Shaklis means to have removed from the world. Have you removed a machlokas tanoim? In other words, if we look in Rashi, Tanoi shaklis loch me'alma delo mishkachas Tanoi de pligi bohochi de kamar sami de'eno mishnah. You, Rav Huna, said delete. Delete indicates that the first source is simply unreliable. So get rid of it. There's no one that would say such a thing. Rav Yosef is saying, you are denying or you have forgotten that there is a machlokes tanoim on this topic. And since there's a Tanaic controversy on this topic, we don't have to delete the first source. It simply represents one school of thought versus the second source, which represents another school of thought. Now, how and when will we see this? So we have to go through a number of lines of Gemara. And we have indicated this by using a long point marking. So the Gemara says, Tanoi hi. It is, in fact, a machlokas tanoim, desanya. We have a Tanaic source, and in this source you can see we've underlined Reb Shimon ben Elazar. And when we complete the source, then we'll focus on what the machlokas tanoim is. Hapas she'ipsha, chayav levayer. Pas she'ipsha is moldy bread. Even though it's very moldy, you have to get rid of it on Pesach. Mipnei shiroi l'shochako, it's fit to be ground up, ulechamea bo kamo isos acheres, and to be used as a medium for fermenting. Lechamea is to ferment. It's similar to the word chometz, and to cause fermentation on kamo isos acheres, on a number of other doughs. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, b'med v'om amurim, when do we say that? B'mekuyemes l'achila. That's where you had preserved the moldy bread in anticipation of eating it. Avol, and so on. Under those circumstances, Reb Shimon says, you will have to get rid of it. Avol kupas or shi'ichado li'yeshiva b'teila. However, a kupas, Rashi uses a French word. For our purposes, we'll say a large hunk of sor. Sor is, now for our purposes, we'll say it's a reference to chometz. A big hunk, a block of chometz that you designated to serve as a seat, as a chair. Yichador, the yeshiva, you designated for sitting purposes. Betela, it is considered nullified on its own. In other words, you don't have to get rid of it. It's nullified vis-a-vis the laws of Pesach. There's a Rashi across from here that says, Betela, Alma, you see from here, Iko, Desfirole, that there are those that hold Afilu Kezayis, even an olive quantity. Obviously, this is much larger than an olive quantity. Mechi Mivto Le, once you nullify it from anything that's food related, Botel, it takes hold and it loses its we'll call it its chometz identity. Umasnisen kamaisa de katoni nami, the first Tanaic source that said b'mokum he'osui lechazek afilu kezayis botel, the first Tanaic source that said even a full quantity, an olive quantity of dough, but it's in a strategic location where it holds the bowl together, it becomes nullified. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, that would be according to him. The cave on the Eina Mekuyemis Lachila Betela, since it's not being maintained, preserved for eating purposes, it loses its chometz identity. This is an illustration of what we have said in Gemara markings many, many times, that there is always a danger of translation. Chometz, as you can see, is not something that means simply fermented dough, but there's more depth to the term chometz vis-a-vis chometz equals violation on Pesach. It depends on what its purpose is, what it's designed for, and that would be Reb Shimon ben Elazar's approach, that if it's used, if it's there, it's preserved for something that's non-food related, so it doesn't take upon itself the definition of chometz as that which is forbidden on Pesach. The Tana Kama, on the other hand, you can see, will disagree. Otherwise, the two would not be in the same source. So let's read the Gemara. Nidil Omar, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Betela, from the fact that Reb Shimon ben Elazar says that the large hunk is Botel, Michlal, the Tana Kama, Sovar Lo Betela, we can then infer that the first opinion holds it won't be nullified, even though it's there to serve as a chair, a non-eating purpose. No matter, according to the Tana Kama, it must be destroyed. Alma Kosovar, the Tana Kama, you can see, then holds Kol Kezayis, anything that is an olive size of quantity, vis-a-vis chometz, Afagav de Mivtil Lobotil, even though you nullify it from food purposes or for chometz purposes, it doesn't take hold. It's not botel. Omar le Abaye. Abaye now addresses Rav Yosef, and he says, Tiratzto bekezayis. You have explained the machlokes, that there is a machlokes tanoim with regard to a full olive quantity. If you look in Rashi, he says, the source that indicates that a full olive quantity in a mokum osi l'chazek can be maintained, that's the Reb Shimon. That is in accordance with Reb Shimon. The Gemara continues, pochos mikezayis mi tiratzta. Let's now go through the Rashi on this. What about the sources with regard to their opinion on less than a kezayis? According to the first source, less than a kezayis can be maintained under all circumstances. According to the second source, less than a kezayis is allowed only if it's in mokum ha'osu l'chazek. What about a mokum shein osu l'chazek? In that case, there is a machlokis between the two sources. So we look at the Rashi, pochus mikezayis b'mokum she'ein osu l'chazik, a negligible amount in an insignificant part of the bowl. The koshunami ahadodi, that too is a machlokis, a point of controversy between the two sources. The komaisa toni, the first source, teaches af b'mokum she'ein osu l'chazik ein chayv levayir, such a small amount never needs to be destroyed. Ubas Raisa Toni Chayov B'mokum Shein Osu L'Chazek. the second source says you have to get rid of the pachos megezayas if it's in an insignificant part of the bowl. Mikotarsis, have you resolved the two sources on this point? Halo shamino le the Rabbi Shimon de Mekil. We have heard Rabbi Shimon's leniency. Elo b'she'eno mekuyemus lachila. He is lenient, but he is lenient only where you're preserving it for non-eating purposes. Avol b'mekuyemus lachila, where something is maintained for eating purposes. And now that could be parallel to the case of mokom she'ein osu l'chazek, where it's not there for its presence isn't there for the benefit of the bowl. So we can say that's the equivalent of mikuyemes l'achila. It's there for eating purposes. Lo sham inon. We don't know Rabbi Shimon in our source above. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar to hold the shoni lei bein kezayis l'bolos mikezayis. If you're dealing with something that's there for food purposes, we don't know him to be lenient. So as far as the Tanoim we saw before that were arguing over the kupas, that's only because you were dealing with something that's non-food related. However, when you get into the realm of something that's food related, as far as the previous Tanoim, we don't know them to be lenient. We continue in the Gemara. Elo, this is now Abaye's resolution, hence a third triangle. Ha v'ha Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar hi. Both sources are in accordance with Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. V'loi kashya, and there is no difference, no contradiction between the two sources. They're both with him in mind, they're taught by him. Ha b'mokim lisha. Ha shaloi b'mokim lisha. B'mokom lisha is a part of the bowl where you do the kneading. In other words, the lower part of the bowl is where, and when you're kneading dough, that's where the dough is present, and that's where you apply pressure. So if the dough is found in a crack, b'mokom lisha, even a kezayis, even a full olive quantity, will be botel. If it's shaloi b'mokom lisha, then even pochus mikezayis will not be botel. Before we get into any further detail, we're going to read another two lines of Gemara, and then we will turn our attention to Rashi to show how what we thought are contradictory sources are not contradictory. What we will eventually have to do is to take some of the terminology in source 1, which looks to be the same as the terminology you find in source 2, and point out that that's where the difference lies in how you define the different parts of the bowl. But at the end of the day, they in effect will be calling the same part of the bowl by different, or let's say it this way, the same term will be used to refer to different parts of the bowl. First, the Gemara. Omar Rav Ashi. Lo tema shaloi b'mokom lisha. Don't explain that the expression shaloi b'mokom lisha, which allows the pochos mikezayis, where we said that pochos mikezayis is chotzeitz and not botel, that point, don't say that shelo b'mokom lisha agavo da'agno is on the outside of the bowl, where there's a crack on the outside. Elo asifso da'agno. It could be on the upper rim of the bowl also, is called shaloi b'mokom lisha as well. In other words, what Rav Ashi is doing is increasing the, we'll call the level of stringency by just a bit. One might have thought that shaloi b'mokom lisha is where we are strict. with regard to even a pochos mikazayas, one might have thought that that's a reference to the outside of the ball, which might be obvious that that's you don't need anything on the outside of the ball. Ravashi is saying no, that shaloba mokom nisha includes even the upper rim of the ball as well. The Gemara says pshita. Well, that's obvious. So he says, the Gemara answers that calling the upper rim the sifsa, the safa of the bowl, shaloba mokomisha, is not so obvious. Maldu tema, one might have thought without Rav Ashi, zimno de atif umoti lahasam, sometimes it splatters, the dough splatters, or it rises to that point. That's atif, is to float, literally to float up. So it might rise to, and moti lahasam, and reach the upper rim of the bowl, and therefore you might consider it mokom lisha. Komash malon, so we are telling you that it's not so, that it's still considered shalo b'mokom lisha. Now, what we must do is go through the Rashi. Rashi's a bit lengthy, but he has to be, because we're trying to resolve two Tanaic sources that seem to be, at first glance, contradictory, and try to understand how does Abaye see that they are not contradictory. Let's go through the Rashi that we're looking at. Rashi we're looking at is just a few lines down from here. Elaha v'ha Reb Shimon ben Elazar v'lo kashya kan b'mokim lisha kan shelo b'mokim lisha. Just the general game plan, and we're gonna be repetitive here, but the general game plan is that the two sources are going to be, they may very well be using the same expressions, however, they are referring to different points of the bowl. And we continue. Masnis and Vasraisa, the second Tanaic source, which was the more stringent one, Lo Kori B'mokom she'en osi l'chazek, elo mokom she'eno mokom lisha klal. According to the second source, which used the term b'mokom she'en osi l'chazek, that applies to a point in the bowl where it's where there is no kneading taking place there ever. Kagon safo helyona. That's the upper rim of the bowl. And as you can see, we have a little diagram indicating that there are three locations of the bowl, and they are the safo helyona, and the defanos, the walls, the sides of the bowl. And then there's something called the shulayim, the bottom of the bowl. So the resolution between these two sources is simply which term you use to refer to which part of the bowl. So according to the second source, the Basraisa, which seemed to be strict, he is strict with regard to the upper rim, the Safa Elyona. We continue in the Rashi. Aval Defanos, the walls, Kori Mokom Heosu L'Chazek. The second source is willing to call the walls Mokom Osu L'Chazek, a place of strategic importance. V'komaiso, Kori Af Defanos, the first source, which appeared to be lenient, is nevertheless calling the walls Mokom She'ein Osui L'Chazek. It will refer to the walls as not strategic. The Afagav de B'mokom Lishahu, even though it's a part of the bowl where kneading takes place, nevertheless, kneading might take place there, but it's not considered Mokom Ha'osui L'Chazek. Umokom ha'asei l'chazek, kori shilayim. The first source will call mokom ha'asei l'chazek, which is reason for leniency, but only the bottom of the bowl. The hochi ko'omar tanakamo. And now Rashi goes through how the tanakamo will, what the tanakamo is really saying. We will see a diamond later on in the Rashi featuring the Tana Basra, the second Tanaic source. So the first source is saying, b'mokom ha'osil l'chazek, if you have dough in a strategic location, kagon shulayim, like the very bottom, shemekablam es hamayim, the bottom of the bowl, the shulayim, is where you're kneading, you add water to the flour. So the water settles down at the bottom. Afilu kezayas eino over, even a kezayas of botzek, of dough, you are not going to be in violation of Pesach. You can keep the kezayas there, but that's at the very bottom. Mokum she'enu osu l'chazek mayim, part of the bowl that doesn't have water settling there, could go to fanos, like the walls. De mokum lishahu, it is a part of the bowl that is subject to the kneading, the lav mokum mayim, but it's not a place that water accumulates. Chotzeitz, a kezayas will chotzeitz the over and cause you to be in violation of Pesach. Upochos mikezayas, afilu b'defanos nami eino chotzeitz. However, less than a kezayas on the defanos is not an interposition and will not cause you to be in violation. The kevon de mahani porto l'chazek isa kishemishavshifin v'loshin sham botil. Since it has some strengthening value, therefore, when you're dealing with less than a kezayas, and it has this strengthening value, that's when you are kneading the dough and the dough rubs along the sides of the bowl. Therefore, less than a kezayas is botel, is null. The ubeshaloi b'mokum lishuk egon sofel yoino. However, in a part of the bowl that isn't even a mokum lisha, it's not, you don't need there either, like the upper lip of the bowl, lo airi hai tano midi. This tana, the first tanaic source, isn't dealing with that part of the bowl whatsoever. Umoidehu ba, dafilu pochus mi kezayas lo batil bay. He will concede, though, that even less than a kezayas will not be nullified there at that upper rim. So the first tanaic source is dealing only with walls and very bottom. The Tana Basra, the second Tanaic source, you can see he will be dealing with the walls and the very top. He won't be dealing at all with the very bottom. Hence the point of overlap between the two sources, namely the walls, you will see there's no argument whatsoever. And as far as the upper lip, so the Tanakama discusses that, and the Tana Basra, he doesn't discuss that. The Tana Basra hochikomar, mokum ha'osu l'chazik isa, a part of the bowl that holds the dough, kagon defanos, eino chotzeitz bepochos mikazayas. If it's less than an aleph quantity, it is not an interposition, and we won't violate Pesach there. Once again, when you're dealing with less than a kezayas, and you can see how we have little arrows to the side of the Rashi, and you could see where in the first lashon or in the first source, it also discussed the case of pochos mikezayas, and the dashed underline, you can see how there's no machlokas. V'hochinami amoron v'komaisan. That's what we said in regarding the first source also, and that's what the arrows indicate. Mokum she'en osu l'chazek, that part of the bowl that is not strategic, kigon sofel yoino, the upper rim, chotzeitz, v'afal gav, the lev kezayas, there will be a chatzitza, even if it's less than a kezayas, v'ochinami amorim b'komais, and again, here we have a little star to the side, and you can see that's what we said with regard to the first source as well. ukezayas, when you're dealing with a full aleph quantity, afilu bedafanos, even if it's on the walls, which we said, we described the walls as emokim of lisha, it's bemokim lisha, but it's the walls. That's it. And if you have a full aleph quantity, afilu bedafanos chotzeitz, v'hochi nami Tanya Bekamaisa. And that point also was mentioned with regard to the first source. In the first, the Tanakhama mentioned that only Pochus Mikazayas will we let you have. But a Kazayas, and you can see that on that, where the first starred line appears, a full Kazayas will be Chotzeitz and he'll be Over. So there are quite a few, we have here three parts of the vessel, two Tanaic sources, and how they and what each source is referring to has all been laid out in the Rashi. This is a kind of Gemara that one, in order to feel that he has a grasp on it, needs to go through it a few times. We do have an accompanying chart in the margin that is designed to be of some assistance. There's a Rashi that you can see has a star in it. The Rashi we're looking at is in about the fifth wide line where he says Klola de Travayu Tanoi, where Rashi summarizes both Tanaic sources. And this Rashi is just one line, but the table that we have in the margin is to highlight this line. But let's see the line in the Rashi. Klola de Travayu Tanoi, the rule that comes out of both of these Tanaic sources, Safo Eliona, when you're dealing with the upper rim, afilu pochos mi kezayas over, even if it's less than a kezayas, less than an aleph quantity of dough, will be a reason for violation of the laws of Pesach. Shulayim, when you're dealing with the bottom of the bowl, afilu kezayas ain't over, even a full aleph quantity, there is agreement that he will not be in violation. Defanos, when it comes to the walls, kezayas over, pochus mikezayas eno over. A full aleph quantity results in the avera of bayiro bayimotze, less than an aleph quantity of dough in a crack in the side of the bowl. He is not in violation. We turn back to the Gemara. You will see that we have a double underline, and we also have Roman numerals 1 and 2 that you can see along the right-hand side of the Gemara text. On the side of the Gemara, there are Mivneh. We feature these Roman numerals 1 and 2, are Shnei Lishonos, two versions, B'divrei Rav, B'inyan Kupas Seor, Shi'ichado Yeshiva. Two versions of Rav regarding this block of chometz that hardened and you set aside for serving as a chair. Besoch Lashon number 1, within the first Lashon, Yesh Shnei Deos Barav. We'll see there are two opinions as to what Rav says. So we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, Halocha to Reb Shimon ben Elozer. The Halocha will follow Reb Shimon ben Elozer's ruling that said, if you were miyached, if you designated a block of dough to serve as a chair, it's botel, it's nullified from its chometz status. The Gemara asks, Eini, is that so? Would Rav really say that? V'omer of Yitzchok bar Ashi, Omar Rav. Notice we have a beis, because we had an aleph by Rav Nachman, that was the first presentation of Rav. This is now the second presentation of Rav that says, in toch ponel betit betelet, the block of chometz that it was hardened was also coated with a coating of cement, tit, of clay, then it's botel. Toch in, lo toch lo. This, we can infer from this that only if you covered it, you coated it with the clay, then the chometz is botel. If you didn't coat it, it would not be botel. And we dashed underlined the expression lo toch lo to highlight the point of difference between Rav Nachman's version of Rav and Rav Yitzchok Bar Ashi's version. The Gemara answers, ma de masni ha, lo masni ha, the one who taught that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elozer, he doesn't teach the need for coding it, and what we're really saying is that there are two deos of Amoroyim in the name of Rav. So Machlokis Amoroyim, there's a Machlokis Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchok as to what Rav really said. Rashi points out, Ma demasni ha mishmei de Rav, he who teaches that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elozer, in a seemingly unqualified fashion, he doesn't make any mention of the need for the tit. We continue in the Gemara. Iko di Amri, another version of presenting Rav Nachman and Rav Yitzchok is as follows. Omer Rav Nachman, Omer Rav, Ein halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Elozer. The halacha will not follow the unqualified leniency of Rav Shimon ben Elozer. De Omar Rav Yitzchok bar Ashi Omar Rav, and notice we've squiggle underlined the Dalid. Here's where you see a big difference between the two Lashonos, other than not only the fact that in this version Rav Nachman is not passing like Shimon ben Elozer, but here Rav Yitzchok is being used to explain Rav Nachman. And that is that Rav Yitzchok bar Ashi Omar Rav says im toch ponel betit betela, and then the Gemara here is saving some wording. The vechule would continue like we saw in the first version, which reads on to say toch ponel in lo toch ponel lo. That is that Rav is going to is ruling that the block of chometz used as a chair will be permitted only if it's coated in clay. That point is something that would show something unlike Rav Shimon ben Elozer, who gave an unqualified heter permission for keeping the kupas sa'or around. These Amoroyim are saying you don't have an unqualified permission, but the kupas sa'or will be allowed to be maintained only if it's coated with clay. We are now going to start a new discussion, and on the side we have a topic heading indicating this. Tzirufon shel shnei chatzoi zeisim shel botzek. We're going to be alluding to connecting joining together, so to speak, two half quantities of chometz dough in the context of the aveira of bayiro or bayim motzei. We continue in the Gemara. Omar of Nachman, Omar Shmuel. Shnei chatzoi zeisim. If you have two half quantities of dough, and Rashi adds importantly here, that are that are located in the cracks of a bowl. V'chut shel botzek beinam, and a string or a thread of dough runs between them. In other words, connects them. Roin, we evaluate. Kol she'ilu yinotel hachut v'nitlin imo chayav levayer. If you could pull on the string of dough and the two half quantities would come along with them, so then you will be obligated to destroy it, because that would represent a full kezias in one spot. And this, of course, would have to tie into the previous sugya, as under what circumstances is a full kezias in one spot required to be destroyed. For example, we would say the walls, according to the third answer in resolving the two sources before, everyone would agree, according to the third approach, that the defanos, a full kezias, must be rid of. Continuing in the Gemara, v'im lav, if by pulling on the string connecting the two half zesim of dough, it's so thin that the two half zesim wouldn't come along with it, eino chayav levayer. So then you're not obligated to get rid of it. It's then two chatzi zesim alone. And of course, if it's in the under the fanos, you don't have to get rid of it. Omar ula lo amoron elo be'areva. The Lo Amoron Elo is now a qualification of what we just saw in the name of Shmuel. he says that the point that if they're not niklin, if the string is so thin that the two half seisim wouldn't come along with it, that you can keep it around, that's lomon elo bareva, that's true only with regard to a bowl. Aval bebayis chayov levayer. However, when you're dealing with two half zesim of chometz in a house, you have to get rid of them. My taima. Now again, once again, if you're dealing with two half zesim, and the string is so thin that the two half zesim wouldn't come along with it, so in our mind we would be viewing them as two. In the context of the bowl discussion, they were being viewed as being disconnected. That is true only with regard to a house, with regard to a bowl. However, when you're dealing with a house, even where you have two chatzi zesim and the string doesn't join them together, Rashi says afilu shnei chatzoi zesim she'ein chut mitzarfon chayav levayer. My taima, why is this? Why is there such a stringency? Answer, the zimnin de konish lehu, konish is to sweep together. Sometimes you sweep the house, sweep with a broom, finafli gabi hadodi, and the two half zesim quantities, literally they fall together, they would join together. So you'd have a full kezias in one spot. Omar Ula, Bo'u b'Marova. In Marova's Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael they ask the following questions. There's a series of questions here. Number one, Bayis v'Aliyomahu. Number two, Bayis v'Achsadromahu. And number three, Shnei Botim Zelif Nimizeh Mahu. Teku. Let's go over the questions. Three different scenarios. What is the din? So far, we spoke about Bayis Echad. One, a Bayis. Bayis might very well be understood in the Gemara's terms to mean a room, as we will try to demonstrate shortly. So that in one room, so we see there is reason for this stringency of needing to rid yourself of two chatzi zesim because of the possibility they might be swept in the sweeping they join together. And they asked, what about Bayis v'aliyah? Bayis is a ground floor, and aliyah is a second floor. That is, if you have a chatzizayas in the house, in the ground floor, the room, the lower room, and a chatzizayas in the second floor, are we going to suspect that when you're sweeping, so you'll sweep the two together, and then you'd have to suspect that after you finish sweeping, the swept material from the upper floor will fall right onto the spot where the sweeping had taken place, where the accumulated debris from the sweeping accumulated on the ground floor. So that then that's where the question comes up: are you obligated to seek out and destroy a chatzi zayas from a ground floor and an upper floor? Another question, Bayis v'achsadra mahu. And achsadra is a sun porch, or it's an entrance, an area that leads into a house that is characterized by large windows and columns that hold up an overhang. So if you say, in the case of the Bayis v'aliyah, that we're not choshesh, and you can see we've marked off the Rashi in such a way that you can get to these points quickly. The diamonded section of the Rashi, lower half of the wide lines. In the case of Bayis Aliyah, you might say, vis-a-vis the first question, that we're not Choshesh because of the far-fetched possibility of the two Chatzi Zesim coming together. However, in the case of the Bayis and Achsadra, where it's common to walk from one right into the other, when you're sweeping things, when you're sweeping the Achsadra and the Bayis, so it's common for you to sweep it all together, and they will actually join up, the two Chatzi Zesim. That's as far as Bayis and Achsadra is concerned. What about Shnei Botim, Zulufni Mizu? This is described as an inner chamber and an outer chamber. The regularity of use of these two, of the inner chamber and the outer chamber, is not as common as the use of the bias and achsadra. So, if you are going to be restrictive in the case of bias and achsadra, because they are used so commonly, one with together with the other, will that stringency apply to the inner chamber and outer chamber as well? The Gemara left this hanging. It left it teku, leaving it unresolved. We continue in the Gemara with a new discussion. On the side, we have a nosei, a topic heading, that introduces this. And we call it as follows, nifsal, food, bread, that became unfit, me'achilas odom, v'roi lekelev. It's unfit, people will not eat it, but a dog would eat it. And there's another situation where it's so unfit, it's nifsal me'achilas kelev, where even a dog wouldn't eat it. So we turn to the Gemara, bearing in mind that in addition to the laws of chometz, we will also be alluding to the laws of tumas ochlin. Tumas ochlin is the ability of food, once it became tome, can it communicate tuma to other food items? The Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, ha-pas she'ipsha v'nifsalo mile'echol adam. Pas, it's bread that became moldy and is unfit for human consumption. Va'kelev yochol ochla, a dog nevertheless would still eat it. Metama tumas oichlin bekebeitza, it is capable of communicating food defilement if you have an egg quantity. An egg quantity of food is the requisite amount of food in order to enable food, once it became tummy, to transmit tuma to something else. V'nisrefes im hatmeo bepesach. Another point is that if you have food that's truma, that's been tithed, is the truma tithe, the food food material that you give to a kohen. And generally speaking, it's forbidden to manually impose defilement upon truma. Nevertheless, if you're dealing with Pesach, and you have this pas that became unfit for human consumption, you can burn it, if it's truma, nisrefes, im hatmea, with defiled food. In doing this, in burning the truma that's moldy with the defiled food, you in effect are being metame the truma, but it's okay. It's okay to do it when you're dealing with the need to get rid of chometz bepesach. V'nisrefes im hatmea bepesach. Mishum Rabbi Nosson Amru Eino Metamo. According to Rabbi Nosson, that is not so. Eino Metamo will mean then that it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin. It's become unfit for human consumption. Keman Aslo Haldisnam. We have another Tanaic source, and we want to find out according to which one of these Tanoim, we just read a Machlokas Tanoim, according to the Tanakama, when it's Nifsal Machios Odom, it nevertheless is Metame Tumas Ochlin. According to Rav Nosson, if it's reached this level of ruination, it's no longer Metame Tumas Oichlin. So we have the following source with no name. Klal Omru Betaros. A rule was stated with regard to the realm of purity and defilement. Kol HaMiyuchad Lo'ochel Odom Tomei. Any item of food that was designed to be for human consumption, It retains its Tuma Ad Sheyifsal Milechol Lekelev, until it becomes unfit for a dog. Keman, who would say that? The lo k'Rabbi Nosson. That is not in accordance with Rabbi Nosson. Because according to Rabbi Nosson, once it becomes nifsal me'achilas odom, once a person would not eat it, it loses its tumah status. According to this source, it doesn't lose its tumah status until it becomes unfit for a dog. It has to become really, really moldy, really unfit, in order to become to lose its Tumah status. Tonu Rabbanan. We have another Tanaic source dealing with a bowl that's used for tanning leather. Arevas ho'abdonim shenosnon l'soicha kemach. A bowl used by people who soak animal skins for the purpose of making leather. And in the course of making leather, there's an intensely foul odor that develops. So this let's go through the rules taught in this source. If you have such a bowl and you put into it flour, toch shlosha yomim chayav levayer. If Pesach comes out within 3 days of your having put the flour in this bowl, so the flour has not become so putrid, and therefore you will have to destroy it because it has become chametz. Kodem shloshi yomim, if you placed the flour in the bowl, in this tanner's bowl, more than 3 days before Pesach, eino chayav levayer, you don't have to get rid of it because it's become so putrid having soaked or sat in a bowl that's used by the tanners. Omar Rabbi Nosson, Bamed Vamamurim, Shelo Nosan L'Soicha Uros. The halacha of making a distinction between within 3 days and more than 3 days is only where you put flour into a bowl and there were no skins in the bowl at the time. Avol nosan l'socha oros, if there were skins in the bowl at that time, afilu toch shlosha ein chayav levayer, even if it's within 3 days of Pesach, namely the flour was sitting there a relatively short amount of time, you still don't have to get rid of it. Omar Rava, halacha k'Rabbi Nosson, the halacha follows Rabbi Nosson, who made a distinction between the presence of skins versus their absence, and the halacha will follow him. Afilu yoyim echad, afilu shah achas. If the flour were sitting together with the skins in the bowl, even for one hour might even mean 1 moment, but literally it's even for 1 hour, you don't have to get rid of it because it has become so putrid. We now continue in the Gemara, focusing on another aspect of the Mishnah. And here it's important to take note of the language of the Mishnah, that our Mishnah, which was back on Omid Aleph. The Mishnah had spoken about if there's an olive quantity in one spot, so one has to get rid of it. And if there isn't an olive quantity, then one doesn't have to get rid of it. The Reisha of the Mishnah was focusing on an olive quantity vis-a-vis the laws of Pesach, and then the Mishnah went on to say, V'chein le'inyan hatuma. V'chein means, and likewise, with regard to the rules of vessel defilement and its subsequent need for immersion in a mikveh. Or if we want to be more simple, we just say, and likewise with regard to the laws of chatzitza. Now, if we translate, if we let's say be literal in our translation, we are saying that in the resha, the quantity that was the focus was an olive quantity. An olive quantity must be destroyed in the face of Pesach, and likewise an olive quantity would be a chatzitza. But when you look closely at things, that's not what we're really taught in the Mishnah. The Mishnah had said, let's read the Gemara now, V'chein linyan tumo im makbid olav chotzeitz, if you don't want it to be there, if you don't want the dough to be there, so it's an interposition vis-a-vis immersion in a mikveh, im rotze bikimo, if you want it to stay there, you want the dough to stay in the crack in that bowl, harei hu kiareva, then the dough becomes like part of the bowl itself, and it's not a chatzitza anymore. So the Gemara asks, why does the Mishnah say v'chein mi domi? How are they comparable? The reisha and the seifa, the laws of chometz and the laws of mikveh. Hasam b'shiur talyam. So there, with regard to chometz, it depends on the objective quantity. Hacha, with regard to the laws of tuma and chatzitza, b'kpeda talyam. It's subjective. It depends on whether you mind it being there or don't mind it being there. So how can the Mishnah say v'chein when v'chein means they are the laws are parallel, when the laws of chometz and mikvah are not parallel? In order to resolve this problem as presented by the very short word v'chein, we have four suggestions, and with our markings we've noted them with a house shape, and you can see on the side of the Gemara under our Nosei Mivneh heading, four suggestions, the Hasbir, our mission to explain the Mishnah that says V'chein Inyan Tuma, and when you see a double underlining appearing, that will represent a rejection. These are the Chios. The Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Eimo Ule Inyan Hatuma Eino Kain. So Rav Yehuda says you have to basically reread the text or change the text. Instead of saying V'chein, you read Eino Kain Ule Inyan Hatuma Eino Kain. Regarding the laws of Tuma, it's not the same. Amar Le Abayevah V'chein Inyan Tuma Kotani. But the Mishnah says V'chein, not Eino Kain. V'chein meaning they are the same. Elo Omar Abaye. Hochi Ka'omar. So now Abaye has his rereading of the Mishnah, and that's why you can see we have a frame around the next couple lines, which will take us to the top of Mem Vav Omar Aleph. Abaye says, thusly we should read the Mishnah. V'chein le'inyan tziruf tumo bepesach. This will be explained as we go on in the Gemara, but we spoke about the laws of chometz, and we said that the laws of chometz and the need to get rid of it is dependent on an olive quantity. And likewise, with regard to what's something called siruf tumah on Pesach, we haven't explained that yet. Ubishar yemois hashana ika plukta. But with regard to the other days of the year, then plukta means there is room for making a distinction between being makbid versus being eno makbid. So now we take a look at the Rashi. We start with Rashi at the top. The inyan siruf tuma kidemeforish the ozil, as will be explained. The bepesach talyo milsa b'shiurei. When it comes to Pesach, the halacha, the laws depend on objective quantities. Rashi continues, "Ubishar yemois hashana ika pluto chiluk bein makbid l'she'eno makbid." Other days of the year, other than Pesach, then a distinction is made between your being upset with it versus eno makbid. V'hainu detona seifa, and that is what the end of the Mishnah is referring to. Im makbid olav. In other words, the end of the Mishnah is dealing with non-Pesach days. Let's continue in the Gemara. Heichi domi. So, like, what are the circumstances? And this will become clear. In other words, what we've just said in the source, which at this point still is quite unclear. What do we mean by tziruf tuma b'Pesach versus shar yemos hashana? Here, the Gemara explains. Heichi domi. How is it to be understood? Kegon deika pochus mikabetsa oichlin. Imagine you have less than an egg quantity of food. Vinogu v'hai botzek. And this pochos mikabetz of ochlin touched this dough, the dough that's in the crack of a bowl. Now, the story is a little bit more elaborate than that, and you can see how we've written into our Gemara markings that appears on your screen or in your printed version. We wrote above this, the our pochus mikabetz of ochlin, this food less than an egg in quantity, touched the dough in the crack. and we wrote above, V'achar kach nog'o bohen tuma. And then some tuma came into contact with this pochus mikabetz oklin that's touching the dough in the crack. V'achar kach noga bohen oichlin tohorim. And then some tohor ochel touched this arrangement. So at the point that this outside food touched it, the pochus mikabetz oklin and the dough in the crack had become tomei, or had encountered, let's say, had encountered contact with tuma. We continue. The Pesach, when this story takes place on Pesach, the Isuro Choshuv Mitztarev. If this story took place on Pesach, where the Isur of Chometz will impose a level of importance to the item, the fact that there's a new Isur, there's an Isur of Chometz that I have to deal with, that imparts importance to the item. And therefore, if it's an olive quantity of dough that's in the crack, so it won't become null or botel to the bowl, and therefore it can join up with the pochus mikabetz ochlin. In other words, the kezias quantity in the crack, being that it has an iser chometz on it, will join together with the balance of food that is coming into contact with it to form a full egg quantity. Once you have a full egg quantity, you have a unit of food that is capable of transmitting tumah to other items. Therefore, when the tumah touches this this setup, it will be capable of joining up. That's what the Gemara says is mitztarev, and can impart tumah to other things. The Gemara continues, B'shari Yemos HaShana, the B'kepeda Talya Milsa, with regard to other days of the year, where the issue is not, the Chometz doesn't play any role, it's just simply a question of, do you want it to be there or you don't want it to be there? So if you are makbid, means you don't want it to be there, so then it will have a food identity. This is, we're referring to the dough in the crack, and it will join up with other food. However, if you are not makbid, you want to be there, so then, let's read this in the Gemara, im makbid olav mitzvah. If you don't want it to be in the crack, so it's viewed as food, so that it will join up with the other pochos mikabetz of ochlin that comes into contact with it. V'im, and im rotze b'kiyumo, if you want the dough to be in the crack, to keep it there as part of the bowl, harehu ke'arevo, then it becomes like the bowl, and it's not food, and the pochos mikabetz of ochlin will not have anything to join up with. So that when tuma touches the pochos mikabetz of ochlin, it will not become tomei to the tune, to the extent that it could transmit tuma to something else. Let's look at the Rashi, on the first narrow line, b'pesach, the Isur Chometz Mechashvoi, that the Chometz prohibition imparts importance to it, the Oseu Choshuv, and makes it important, of having significance. Hoyul Ukezayas Husko Le Choshev Inyan Isur Chometz, the Loboto Legabi Areva, Kedesanyo Reishal, since the olive quantity was mentioned in the context of Chometz as something that is not botel to the bowl, as we saw in the Reisha. Hashto the inyan tuma nami lo batil legabi areva. So too with regard to tuma, the kezias quantity will not be batil. It won't become part of the bowl. With regard to the laws of tuma, umitzdarif lahashlim mikabetz, and it will join up with the other food that's touching it now to be a full quantity, a full egg quantity. V'afagav the ein makbid olov, even though you don't mind it being there. Umetama es achirim, and it can join up, it will join up and then impart tuma to other things once it itself became tame. We turn back to the Gemara. Maskif law Rava. The double underline marking here introduces called the rejections, the dechios of the pshotim that we are saying. So you can see here Rava objects. Maskif law Rava, Mi Kotoni Mitzdaref, does the Mishnah make reference to the word joining together? V'choitzeitz Kotoni, the Mishnah talks about an interposition. Elo Omar Rava. So Rava comes up with another pshat. V'chein lahalois tahara le'areva. Rashi, v'chein lahalois lo tahara le'areva, talyo nami b'shi'ura v'lo shi'ura. The Pesach. If you have a bowl that became tomei and it needs to be immersed, so that halacha of imparting tahara, causing tahara to be present with regard to the bowl, depends on objective quantities when you're dealing with Pesach. The imakbid olav, the issue of your being upset with it or wanting it to be there. That issue, which is, as we said before, is the non-objective approach, koyasharya mosashana. That refers to the rest of the year. Kagon, the itmi, imagine you have a bowl that became tomei v'kol matpil lo, and you need to immerse it, v'komar debepesach hoyol v'gezayas over oleo. And we are saying that since on Pesach an olive quantity will, because of violation, ubitfanas isur chushuvo, and if it's in the walls, we saw before in the previous sugya that a kezias on the walls is always a problem. So the isur of chometz makes it of significance. The al korchutzor litlo, you have to get rid of a full olive quantity on the walls of the bowl. The chayetz in it therefore will be an interposition to lohavi kareva, and it doesn't become part of the bowl. Afilu eino makbidol, even if you aren't bothered by it being there, you want it to be there. But nevertheless, since it's on the walls of the bowl, a full olive quantity must be rid of, and therefore it will be a chatzitza for immersion purposes. So now we read what we just saw in the Rashi in the words of the Gemara. So Rava says that the connection between the Reisha of the Mishnah, which spoke about the laws of chometz and things dependent on the objective shiur of kezias, this is true also with regard to v'chein lahalos taro l'areva, with regard to immersing it, lahalos l'areva, to raise taro, to bring purification to the bowl, which is accomplished through immersing it. Hechidomi, well, what are the circumstances? Gedon, the itmi ha'chareva, the bowl had become tomei, uboy with buli, and I need to immerse this bowl with chometz in a crack, with a dough that's in one of the cracks. But Pesach, when you're dealing with the holiday of Pesach, the Isuro Choshuv, where the Isur of Chometz imparts significance to it, namely that if you have an olive quantity of dough, it is considered of significance and its presence cannot be denied. Chotzeitz, it will be an interposition, as we saw in the Rashi, even if you want it to be there, even if you want it to be in the walls of the bowl to strengthen the crack. Doesn't matter. The lo salkalot tvila, and the tvila, the immersion, will not be effective. B'sharia moisa shona b'kepeda talya milsa. With regard to other days of the year, and you have dough in the crack of a bowl that needs to be immersed, it depends on the kepeda. E makbid olav, if you don't want it to be there, then chotzeitz, it will be an interposition. V'im rotza b'kiyumo, if you want the dough to be in the crack, even if it's more than a kezias, but you want it to be there to strengthen the bowl, harei hu ke'areva, it becomes like the bowl, and it's therefore not a chatzitza, and the bowl can be immersed as it is with the dough stuck in the crack, because it's strengthening it. Maskif lo Rav Papa. Now Rav Papa's objection to Rava's explanation. Mi kotoni v'chein inyan tara. Does that language appear in the Mishnah? Ha le'inyan tuma katoni. The Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey used the expression. Let's say on the Mishnah itself used the expression v'chein le'inyan tuma. So Rava's explanation that centered around the halos tara doesn't seem to be accurate. Therefore, the Gemara continues. Elo Amar Rav Papa v'chein le'inyan lehoyrid tuma le'areva. Likewise, just like the Reisha spoke about a kezias, so too the kezias will be of significance with regard to having tuma descend upon the bowl. Heichi domi. Well, what are the circumstances of this? Again, we have to make a distinction between Pesach, where the objective kezias quantity will be of significance, versus the other days of the year. So Rav Papa says, imagine you have a bowl with a crack in it, and there is dough filling the crack, and a dead sheretz. A sheretz is a creature, one of eight creatures that are enumerated in the Torah, that impart, and when they're dead, they will impart tumah to that which they touch. So a sheretz touches the dough in the crack. The Pesach, the isuro choshuv, chotzeitz v'lo nochta lo tumah. Since it's an olive quantity, and an olive quantity has objective significance with regard to the laws of Pesach, so it's not considered part of the bowl. Therefore, the dead sheretz, it didn't touch the bowl. It touched this olive quantity of chometz, which is considered not part of the bowl. So even if you say the dough became tomei because it came into contact with the sheretz, it doesn't affect the bowl. It's considered separate from the bowl, even though it's physically lodged in a crack. B'sh'ari moisashana, with regard to the same scenario of the sheretz touching the dough in the crack, but on the other days of the year, where the issue is kepeda im makbid olah of chotzeitz. If it's an amount of dough that bothers you, that you don't want it to be there, so then it's chotzeitz. It serves as an interposition between the sheretz and the rest of the bowl. The rest of the bowl will not become tamei. Im roitza b'kiyumo, if you want the chometz, whatever quantity it is, but you want it to be there, harehu kareva, it's like the bowl, and it's as if the sheretz touched the bowl, and the bowl will become tamei. Before we sign off, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.